Okay, we are starting our second part in our series of the laws of Nidah. And today, I want to concentrate more on the process of how a woman becomes Tahor, once she is Tameh. Last week, we discussed how a woman becomes Tameh. And we also discussed doctor procedures, etc. And this week, what we're going to discuss is that once a woman became Tameh, what is the process, what is the cycle in order for her once again to reach her stage of Tahara? So, to start, we mentioned that a woman who sees even tipat dam kechardal, even a little bit of blood, she has to sit Shiva Nikiyam. She has to sit 7 clean days. One would think if a woman sees blood, so all she has to do is wait 7 days and she becomes pure. The halacha tells us another sugya, another problem. If one is going to wait 7 clean days, there could be a potential problem. A woman who was together with her husband, so she has semen in her. And if she waits 7 clean days right away, she starts waiting. Let's say she was together with her husband on Monday. And then right afterwards, she starts seeing blood. She only sees for a day. She starts counting Shiva Nikiim. Then on Wednesday, she is counting her 7 clean days. And the semen is going to come out of her body. There is a halacha that semen is similar to blood in a way that it's like a discharge, and it will break the Shiva Nikiim. You have to have 7 clean days, and semen in the middle, it breaks that 7 clean days, and it means that she doesn't have 7 great clean days. It's called poletet shichvat zera, and therefore, a woman before she starts counting her 7 clean days has to have at least 3 full 72-hour days in order she could count again. Because after 72 hours, which is 3 full days, then the semen is no longer potent, and it is not mikabel tuma anymore. And even if it comes out of her body, it's not mikabel tuma. We learn this from Bnei Yisrael, that they had to separate from their wives 3 days before Matan Torah, before they received the Torah. And the reason would be, because after 3 days already, anything that would come out of the ladies would already not be something that could contract tuma. So because of this, what a woman has to wait 3 full 72-hour days before she starts counting, which is really 4 days, because a lot of times the days are shorter than 24 hours. You know, you have if she starts seeing,
it's 3 plus 7.
It's not only 3 plus 7. That's the starting point. It's really 4 days. It's really 4 days that a woman has to count. If she sees in the middle of a day, she has to count 4 full. She has to count 3 full days. It's already 4 days. So that's where we get that a woman has to count 4 days from the day that she sees, and then count 7 days. That is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. The Rama was of the opinion that not only she has to keep 4 days, she should keep 5 days. Why does she have to keep 5 days? Because if a woman saw dam ben hashmashot, which is let's say motzei Shabbat, she's between the time where it's day and night, it's after sunset, between 5:25 and 5:50, practically speaking, in our clock today. In Los Angeles. And if a woman will see that, she'll think that it's the day before, but it's really the day, it's really the day further. So because we're afraid that a woman is going to see ben hashmashot, we say that it's always, in order never to come to that scenario, a woman really shouldn't wait 4 days, she should wait 5 days. And believe it or not, this is the accepted halacha by Ashkenazi communities and many Sephardi communities, the Ben Yishchai, Rav Ben Tzion HaBashaul, and said that a woman waits 5 days before counting her Shiva Nikim. The truth is that most of the times anyways, when a woman gets her cycle, anyways, she sees for 5 days until she's ready her Shiva Nikim. But sometimes she has a short cycle. Sometimes it was just a little bit of blood, and then she would only then it could be that she's finished after 2 or 3 days, but she still should wait for the 5 days. Nevertheless, Rav Avadi Yosef was of the opinion that one could rely on the Shulchan Aruch, which is 4 days, and then start at 7, which is why many Sephardim do 4 and 7. One doesn't mean minhag like Rav Avadi Yosef, that has definitely what to rely on. Otherwise, the standard minhag, even by Sephardim, by most Sephardi communities, is to wait 5 days and 7. There were some countries, like in Iran and Morocco and others, that they waited 7 days and then another 7. 14 days they waited. Those are chumrot that applied over there. However, most poskim say one does not have to keep it, and on the contrary, there are problems with keeping it because a woman's going to lose her ovulation cycle. It's going to be much harder to get pregnant. And if a person doesn't know specifically that he has such a minhag, he doesn't have to keep it. If he knows he has such a minhag, it could be that he should go to a Rav and do Hatarat Nedarim to start counting 5. And if he follows Rav Avadi Yosef and all of his psakim, he could even rely on Rav Avadi Yosef to do 4 and 7. The problem with keeping 4 and 7 is the minimum. The problem with keeping 4 and 7 is that a lot of times a woman is not even ready to do her Hefsik Tehara. She's not ready to do her Bedika to start making her clean, and she's going to have questions. So therefore, it's always better to, if she's able to wait that extra day and wait 5, it's usually easier for her. It saves her issues. And that is the process, 5 and 7, which equals 12. Now, there are exceptions. There are exceptions when a woman is having a hard time getting pregnant and her ovulation is coming earlier than 12 days. They should speak to a Rav what there is to do. Usually there's pills that push off the ovulation, but there are extenuating circumstances where, let's say, she knows she wasn't together with her husband the day before she saw, so she doesn't have anything in her body anyways. Now, the Rama says, we're not going to start making differences, and the Rama is very strong about this. He says, one who starts making difference like this, he is breaking a fence, and there's a statement in Chazal, Kol HaPoretz Geder Yinashchenu Nachash. Anybody who breaks a fence, a snake will come to bite him. Which means that there are certain fences in Nida that we keep and we don't mess around with. Nevertheless, in cases of extreme necessity, of refuah reasons and others, that's up according to the calculation of the Rav, there are sometimes factors to take into account that might make a difference. But that's going to be an extreme circumstance in which it speak to his Rav. Otherwise, a woman who sees Nida, she has to wait 5 days and 7. What's the exception to this? If a woman sees Dam in middle of her Shiva Nikim, she's anyways Asura. There was no way that she was allowed to be with her husband for the past 5 days. Then she doesn't have to wait 5 and 7. If a woman sees in middle of her Shiva Nikim, in the middle of her 7 days that she's forbidden anyways, she sees Dam, that day she could do a Hefsik Tahara and start counting 7. She could forgo the 5 days. So 5 days is when a woman is Tahor. Technically, she would be allowed to be with her husband. Even if she wasn't, she saw Dam, she has to wait 5 days. Then she has to wait 7 days. Nevertheless, if she was in the middle of Shiva Nikim and she saw Dam, she doesn't wait. She doesn't have to wait 5 days. She could start counting 7 days as soon as she does her bidika and then she could count her Shiva Nikim. So in other words, in the middle of day 3 of Shiva Nikim, she saw, instead of going on day 7 to the mikveh, she's gonna do her bidika on day 3, and she can count another 7 days after that, and then she could go to the mikveh.
I thought you said it has to be a minimum of 5 days.
It has to be a minimum of 5 days when she saw at a time that she is allowed to be husband. But if it's at a time that she was forbidden anyways, the whole reason of 5 days is because she has semen in her body. But there was not possible, humanly possible, for her to have semen in her body because she's not allowed to be with her husband that time. She's asura to be with her husband. Humanly, yes, but halachically, no.
Don't we also add days before she gets her period? So, like, that doesn't...
No, that's what we don't... We count 5 days from the day that she saw. So in other words, if a woman sees on Sunday, so she counts that day. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Thursday afternoon is when a woman is going to do her Hefsik Tahara. We're going to speak about 3 types of bidikot. It's really 2, but I'm going to call it 3 different names. There is the Hefsik Tahara. There is the Mokhdachuk. And then there's the Bidikot Shiva Nikim. The Hefsek Tahara, all of these are done with a Bidika cloth that a woman uses, a white cloth. She could technically take a big white sheet and cut it into 100 pieces and have 100 bedikah cloths. Or she could buy them in the mikveh or a store or wherever they sell them. They probably sell them online nowadays for all packages. I know. Yeah, they're packages. And it's basically bedikah cloths. A woman stuck. I've seen many women, they come to me with questions that it's like an undershirt that they took and they cut up. They had no choice. That works if there's no other choice. As long as it's white and it's a piece of cloth. And if it's around her finger. A woman does a bedikah. A bedikah is to make sure that she has no blood. Now, it's not enough just to check from, you know, her undergarment to see if she has no blood. Because dam is, by a lady, dam nida is as soon as it left the cervix, even if it's still in her body, in the lashon of the chazal, it's even if it's in her prozdor, literally the corridor, the hallway. In other words, even if it's not outside yet, even if it didn't leave her body yet, but it left her cervix, it's still tameh. So it's in her body, but it didn't go outside yet, it's still tameh. So it's not enough for a woman just to see outside, for her undergarments, she doesn't have blood, because she might have blood still in her body. How does a woman check? She does a bedikah. A bedikah means, literally, that a woman takes a white cloth, and she checks... And she checks in her area as much as she can. And this is actually a very big problem, that sometimes women don't check properly where they can, because a woman has her finger cannot reach all the way up to where blood can be. And this is a very big problem that Bet Yosef and others deal with this. How does a woman do a bedikah if she can't check every single area? And the answer is that she has to check as much as she can. She has to check as much as her finger can check. She has to check every area. There is a myth or a misconception that a woman, all she has to go is enter one time, make one round, and then come out. That's a mistake. It's a big mistake. A woman has to check wherever she could check. She has to make as many rounds to as many crevices and many areas in her body that she thinks that there might be blood, and then come out and check. That's called the bedikah. When she comes out and the cloth is clean, that means that it's a good bedikah. If the cloth is not clean, she has to see. If it's red, it's a problem. And we'll deal with the colors a little bit later. But right now we want to discuss the actual hefsek tahara. Hefsek tahara is the most important bedikah. It has to be done before the Shiva Nikiyim start. Because the purpose of a hefsek tahara is like its name. Hefsek, stopping, for tahara. To get into the tahara, to get into the purification process. In order for a woman to transition from the time that she's a nida to get into a purification process, she has to make a very important bedikah called the hefsek tahara bedikah, which is that she makes an internal check before sundown. It's very important that it's done before sundown, because once it's sundown, she entered the time of Shiva Nikiyim, and she has to enter already when she's tahor. So a woman always has to do a bedikah, always before Shakia. Shakia is sundown, not candlelight, 18 minutes after candlelight. Shakia is sundown, which is, let's say today, it would have been at 5:24, is Shakia, right? So a woman before, she do it 5 minutes before, 10 minutes before, she can do it up to 2 hours before. She shouldn't do it in the morning, she should do it more in the afternoon. If she's at work and she's very busy, she's not able to, as long as it's not the first day that she saw blood, which it is not anyways, because she anyways has to wait 5 days. As long as it's not that time, she could do her hefsek tahara in the morning if she's at work and she's not going to be able to do it later. But it's better to do it as late as possible, but not too close to shkia, because then she's going to get into problems. Now, after a woman does her hefsek tahara, she is clean. But since it's such an important transition time to get from tuma to tahara, We want to make 100% sure that there was no blood that came in from that time, from 5:24 going to the first day of Shiva Nikiyim. So a woman has something called a moch dachuk. A moch dachuk is that she could take a bedikah. Usually it's the bedikah cloths that are sold that have a little bit of a piece of cloth sticking out at the end, that she can insert it and take out the bedikah cloth when at the end of Shkia. In other words, she leaves it in there for the time of Ben HaShemashot, which is between Shkia and night and three stars, which is around, in these areas, it's 25 minutes she could leave it in, even though for Shabbat we wait longer. For Ben HaShemashot, it's enough 25 minutes. could be in the East Coast, she would have to wait 35 minutes. She would have to wait 35 minutes. After she waits that time, she takes out the bedikah cloth. That bedikah cloth made sure that during the time that she was transitioning from being a nida till the shiva nekiyim, she's totally pure. That is the purpose of hefsek tahara. That is the purpose of hefsek tahara and the mochdachuk, that a woman transitions from tumah tahara. Correct? Now, the mochdachuk is not the same thing as a hefsek tahara. Hefsek tahara, she has to check in all crevices, and therefore she has to check with her finger with a cloth. Mochdachuk, she doesn't have to check all crevices. She just did that with the hefsek tahara. All she has to make sure is no new blood is coming. How does she make sure that no new blood is coming? She has to put a mochdachuk there. For that purpose, a tampon also helps for a mochdachuk. A tampon does not help for a bedika, because the bedika has to check in all crevices. But for a mochdachuk, for that cloth that she keeps in her body, if she puts in a tampon, that helps. Okay? So a woman who does a mochdachuk, she wants to put in a tampon to keep it there. She has to keep it from 5:20, let's say, until 5:50, that would be fine. She takes out the tampon and she sees it's all clean. The woman has entered her Shiva Nikim. Then, so it's already Thursday night. Friday day is the first day. Thursday night and Friday day is the same, is the first day for her to start counting her Shiva Nikim. She has to count 7 clean days. That means every day she has to make sure she's tahor. How does she do that? She does a bedika twice, one in the morning and one before the night. You never do a bedika at night.
Every day?
Yes. A bedika at night doesn't help. A woman has to do a bedika every single day. 2 bedikas a day, actually. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. She then counted 7 days. So she did her hefsek tahara Thursday afternoon. The next Thursday night, she goes to the mikveh. If all the bedikas, all the bedikot are fine. Now, if a woman didn't do her bedikot every single day of the Shiva Nikim, it doesn't mean she can't go to the mikveh. She has to do at least a bedika the first day and a bedika the seventh day. If she didn't do some of the bedikot in the middle, bedi'avad, that means if she didn't do them, she could still go to the mikveh. It's better for her to do as many bedikos as she can. But if she messed up and she wasn't able to, as long as she did one bedika on the first day, one bedika, that's crucial. And one bedika on the seventh day, then she's able to go to the mikveh. If she didn't do one of those bedikas on the first and the seventh day, she should ask a rav. She should ask a rav what to do. She should ask a rav what to do. But that she has to do a bedika. She has her shiva nikim. She has her hefsek tahara. So a woman who sees blood, she waits 5 days. She does her hefsek tahara. She does a mochdachuk. She counts 7 clean days and does bedika. And she's ready to go to the mikveh. That's the process. And she's ready to go to the mikveh. Now, the 7 clean days are called Shiva Nikiyim, 7 clean days. But the Gemara calls it also the 7 white days. Gemara calls it the 7 white days. From here, the Rama says that a woman should wear white undergarments during the time of Shiva Nikiyim, so she could notice if there's blood, if she started seeing again. So she should notice that there's blood. That's what the Rama says. Now the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring this down. The Shulchan Aruch says she has to bring clothes that are bidukim, that are checked, that are clean. He doesn't say white. But it seems to be from Rav Ovadia Yosef and other Sephardic poskim that a woman should indeed have white undergarments during the 7 clean days. Now this may cause a problem. Because if a woman has a white undergarment, remember what we spoke about last week, and she sees a red stain, she doesn't start seeing a regular cycle, but she sees a red stain that's more than a penny that's big, it would prohibit her. Midirabanan. So we say usually when a woman is pure, she should wear colored undergarment to avoid those issues. But now we're telling her to wear white, and she might see a ketem. There are many poskim in America that say that during a woman's 7 clean days, she should wear a sanitary pad. If she sees blood on her sanitary pad, she brings it to the Rav. It could be that it'll be permitted. It could be that it's not called an undergarment. It's called something that's not mekabel tuma, that doesn't contract tuma. It is a machloket. It is a machloket. But there are many poskim in America that will permit a woman who sees blood on her undergarments, as long as it's not a cycle seeing, it's a little stain that might have been forbidden by the undergarments, but it's not going to mess her up if it's on the sanitary pad. And sometimes it makes a big difference. This is especially relevant. I think I mentioned this last week. But nowadays, women who are on birth control pills, sometimes the birth control pills don't work so effectively and she stains. A woman has random stains and she doesn't know what to do. She's in the middle of Shiva Nikiyam. She's been trying to get pure and also she sees a stain. If it's on a white undergarment, it could mess her up. If it's on a sanitary pad and it's only a stain, it could be it's going to be allowed. So that's why a woman has to be very aware about these different situations and different ways where she can make it easier upon herself. And as I mentioned, if it's something that keeps on making stains, she should speak to her OBGYN. Maybe there's a different type of pill. As I think we mentioned last week, if she mixes up the amount of estrogen compared to progesterone that's in there, it could be that that'll already solve the issue. But a from OBGYN will usually know which pills cause more staining and which pills cause less staining. Sometimes there's different pills while she's nursing and different pills while she's not nursing. And that, you know, that then there's a difference as well. So I'm not a pharmacist. I'm not going to say which pills yes, which pills no. But a woman should definitely be in touch with her OBGYN to prevent her problems. I wanted to mention also there is an organization. So there is a certain center that one could call that they are experts in helping a woman navigate herself to get the right type of pill. Sometimes it's an IUD, birth control device, especially the Miranda device that could cause bleeding and staining unnecessarily. And there's different options that a woman could take something that will cause less issues. So there is a center there's a hotline. You could look it up online. Something for a center for Jewish purity, and that it'll consult a woman, especially if she's going through fertility issues. That will tell her what's the best way to make sure she doesn't have staining. But if a woman who has staining issues, she has to know about this. I'm just mentioning that during Shiva Nikim, if she wears a sanitary pad, she'll avoid that issue. Otherwise, she should be careful to wear white. So once a woman goes through the process of Shiva Nikim, she's ready to go to the mikveh. Now there are two situations where a woman could encounter where she does a bedika and she sees blood, but it could be that she's still permitted. A woman's dam nida only comes from the uterus, right? The uterus has walls of blood, and when those walls collapse, the blood comes out, and that's called the dam nida. However, the outside of her uterus is called the cervix. Now, the cervix is a very sensitive area. If the cervix is aggravated, she could start having scratches there, and those scratches could make blood. Usually, from a medical perspective, there's no problem, there's no danger. It's just a little scratch, like you have a little scratch on your finger. But on your finger, if I scratch it, no blood comes out usually. But in the cervix, if there's a scratch, so that could start making blood, especially if she presses. And what's the problem? When a woman does a bedika and she presses on her cervix and she does too many bedikot, or it's after birth, it might be a very sensitive raw area, the cervix, and she does a bedika and she sees blood. That blood is not necessarily damnida, but how does she know she sees blood? Here you have an issue. If a hefsik tahara, it's a big problem. Because by a hefsik tahara, there's no way of knowing if it's blood or if it's not blood. The woman potentially is asura. She's forbidden until she makes sure that this is not damnida. Until she makes sure there's no way of doing that. The only eitza, the only way that she will become pure if she has a maka, if she has a wound, and she's doing her hefsik tahara, says she has to go to a nurse, and there are from nurses that do this, and the nurse does the bedika for her, and the nurse will go in the area and will skip the cervix area where she sees that it's more raw and it might produce blood. That's the only way to do it. She has to go to specifically to a nurse. During the bedikat shiva nikiim, if she sees that she has damaka, usually the Rav will see that it's blood, it's in a corner, and it keeps on coming. The Rav cannot say that it's mutar, because maybe it's blood. You see blood. You have to say that this blood is damaka. The only way a Rav is able to do that is if he sends her to a nurse, obviously a woman nurse, that is going to check and is going to tell her, yes, she has a maka. For a hefsek tahara, that's not enough. The nurse herself has to do the bedika. But during this shiva nikiim, if the nurse says there's a maka and it's in this area and the Rav sees that yes, it's in this area maka, he could put the two dots together and he could permit it. And there are nurses in every city that are designated to do there. It might be a minimal fee, but that's what sometimes has to be done in order to permit such a situation. That's called dam maka, blood that's coming from an external maka. Now there are other type of complicated makas that happen because of a woman's womb herself. She has issues in her womb herself. That's not called dam maka. That would be permitted because it's still coming from her womb and her uterus, and that we're going to forbid anyways. I'm talking about a maka that's coming because of her external area, an area that's outside of the uterus, that's already from the cervix or anywhere in her prosdor area and the hallway area that we call it, until it leaves the outside. That is the details of dam maka. Now, when a woman checks her area with a bedika cloth, she is very possibly going to find colors that are not necessarily red, but she doesn't know where it's coming from, whether it's dam nida or not. Now, one thing that should be known is that a woman has a lot of different hafrashot, a lot of different discharges that could be all types of colors. The Gemara says that there are four types of red that are forbidden. The Mishnah says in Masechet Nida, Dav Yutet Amud Aleph, that there are four types of red that is forbidden, and black is also forbidden. Why is black forbidden? The Gemara says, Adam hu ela shelaka. It was really red, but it became somehow affected, and it became black. So the two colors that a woman sees that is a problem is red and black. Any other colors, we have to discuss. Now, it used to be that there were certain shades of red in the times of the Gemara that they'd be able to tell which is a real red or not a real red. As a matter of fact, David HaMelech, it's written in the Midrash, David HaMelech praises the kings of Israel by saying, look, all the kings of the nations of the world, they wake up late, they watch the Super Bowl, they don't do anything productive with their time. I wake up at Chatzot Laila, and I'm busy during my day, and my hands are dirty with blood. Yadai meluchlachim bedam. My hands are dirty with blood to be able to tell a woman what's dam tahor, what's pure blood, what's impure blood. See, that's what David HaMelech was busy with, saying what's pure blood, what's not pure blood. There's rabbanim that are trained years upon years, that they're able to say what's red and what's not red. But not the same way as David HaMelech. David HaMelech was able to tell between red and not red. In the time of the Gemara already, we lost that tradition. We lost that Mesorah. So nowadays, anything that's notele adom, anything that's slightly similar to red, we forbid. Because we don't know. Now, what's called slightly similar to red and what's not red, Rabbanim nowadays, who are involved in this area, have extensive training, thousands and thousands and thousands upon different times that they're able, and they learn from Rabbanim who learned all the way back about what's called a marid that's sur and what's called a marid that's mutar. So something that's a little bit similar to red, that we forbid. Something that's yellow, white, sometimes she's white, green. No, she doesn't usually see green. She'll see yellow. It's allowed. How about brown? Brown is complicated because there's many, many different shades of brown. You could have a brown that has a tinge of red, and you could have a brown that's really not a tinge of red. Here you'll have different rabbanim with different positions. Many rabbanim, you'll show them a brown that you think looks like red. They'll say, you know, that's not red. You'll say, that's not red. It'll depend. It's a brown that is a discharge. But a discharge that's not red is not forbidden. There's sometimes colors, shades of pink that are pink and red. There are sometimes discharges of orange that are orange and not red. There's sometimes black. Black is a tricky thing because usually when a woman's going to see something black, it's usually external dirt. But it's not really blood that was... affected and black. I have rarely seen black that is forbidden. I have seen it sometimes. There are some rabbanim that'll say if it's a lot of brown put together and it has a tinge of black, they say that's black and that's forbidden. Others will say, no, as long as it's not the red that turned black, that's not asur. So there's different range of opinions. Whatever Rav you pick that you show him the marot, you rely on him that he knows what he's saying. There are some reds that are forbidden, something that you'll think are forbidden or not, something you'll think are permitted or not. So it's a good idea that at the beginning of your, when a person first gets married, he shows often to a Rav to get noticed. So yeah, anything, you know, like from this, he knows it's not even a question. Anything like this, he knows it's a borderline question or not. Person shouldn't decide on his own. He can't just take a book of paint and pick the colors like he's picking tall. Oh, this is okay, this is not okay. It doesn't work that way. A lot of shades. Sometimes, for example, sometimes a Rav has to look at a mar'eh. It takes him 5 minutes to look from all corners to determine what it is exactly. Sometimes he has a magnifying glass. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he has to look at a white background. Sometimes a Rav, you're going to come to him at night, he's going to have to see it during the day. Light of the day is different than the light of the night. These are all different nuances and details that can make a tremendous difference. Okay, so I think this is what we covered today. We covered about when a woman sees blood, what's her process of tahara until she's ready to go to the mikveh, which we're going to discuss next time. Be'ezrat Hashem.